bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Blood Roots, an Andy Carmichael case, a paranormal thriller. Written, dramatised and produced by Be Here. Andy felt herself falling toward the ground, but before she hit, someone caught her. She was spun around and could see Peter's face looking down at her, concern etched across his brow.
Andy, are you okay?
He asked. She gasped and looked up at him.
Yes, I think so. I'm not sure what happened.
The noises inside her head were completely silent. She looked past Peter and could see Eduardo looking at her with a puzzled look. As she focused on him, she felt a twinge at the back of her mind. But no murmurings. She got the impression that her voices were hiding from him.
Yes, Peter, I'm fine. I might have just tripped or something. I don't know. Or perhaps some kind of vertigo from the helicopter flight.
Eduardo moved in and reached to help Peter to get her back on her feet. She was ready for his touch this time, but still she felt a jolt through her whole body. Eduardo frowned again.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yes.
She answered with a bark.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to sound so short. I think the whole incident must have unsettled me. I really am sorry. I'm not usually the grouchy type, nor the clumsy type.
That's fine. No harm done.
And he looked closely at her.
Forgive me, Andy. And I know it's a cliché, but have we met before? I get the distinct impression that I know you.
Andy was flustered.
Could he have felt something too? No, I don't think so. I am sure I would have remembered. I'm sure you won't forget me now, though, with such an elegant first impression.
Eduardo laughed again, his laugh musical and lifting the mood.
True. Still, I get this feeling. Never mind. I'm sure we'll get to know each other better over the weekend, and then perhaps I might remember. Now, Peter, I have a room ready for you on the second floor. Go up the main stairs, turn left, and it's the first room on the right. The same one you stayed in last year. Drinks are at 7 in the main hall. Get this lady of yours upstairs for a rest, and I'll see you then. It was really good to meet you, Andy. Oh, if you like, leave your bags in the hall, and someone will bring them up.
Andy could see Peter was still looking at her.
I'm not usually that clumsy, I promise. And did he say room or rooms?
Now, it was Peter's turn to look flustered.
I didn't really explicitly say that we were to have separate rooms. He must have just assumed. I'm really sorry. I'll go and speak to him and sort it out.
Andy placed her hand on his.
Peter, it's okay. Really. We don't need to make a fuss. I'm sure you're a true gentleman and will sleep on the sofa.
Then she burst out laughing, and she watched him become even more flustered.
Come on, let's just get upstairs. I'd like to sit down and try to work out why I fell over at such an inopportune moment.
Jules wasn't used to being kept waiting. She didn't mind, though. No one here knew who she was, and she wanted it that way. She had applied for the job at Kuba Corp, the company owned by the Sols, as an IT technician yesterday, having doctored her references and ensured a trail was left that could be followed. She knew she would get the job. It was at a fairly low level in the IT security department, and now she was sitting, waiting for an interview. She had dressed herself in a short skirt, stockings that almost showed the tops, a low-cut blouse, and was sporting a wig that showed a short bob. A pair of glasses topped off her disguise. She knew from her research that the guy who was going to interview her had a penchant for exactly this kind of woman. Men were so fickle. She also knew his wife knew nothing about the fact that he employed more women than men in the department. He frequented a few bars in town where the services that were on offer were greater than those of just food and drink. He had been cited in a number of sexual harassment cases at work, but had managed to wriggle his way out of them. In no small measure, because he was a cousin to Eduardo Sol. His career had started in the States, and he had been shipped here to the UK to cover his misdemeanors. She knew that his wife thought it a promotion. It wasn't. It was a necessity. She was confident indeed of getting the job, and what's more, she intended to make sure he fully appreciated all her assets. She was even looking forward to it. It might be fun. Once she had the job, she would get as much information as she could from their computer systems, and then she would deal with this creep herself. He wouldn't be bothering any women again once she'd finished with him.
Mrs. Sweet?
She heard from the secretary, sitting behind the large reception desk.
Mr. Jenkins will see you now. If you make your way up to the second floor, he'll be waiting.
Thank you.
Jules replied and walked to the lift. 40 minutes later, she was back in the reception area, having secured the job and having persuaded Mr. Jenkins that she could start in the morning. Oh, the fun she was going to have with this guy. She walked out of the building and headed toward the main road, where she hailed a cab to take her to a bar in Taunton Mews, just off Marylebone. She had heard that for some reason, even though it was a fair few miles away from the office, on a Friday, it was the common haunt of the IT team from the company. After all the trouble she had gone to get dressed up and in character, it seemed a shame to waste the effort. They wouldn't know who she was, and her particular victim for the evening's pleasure certainly wouldn't be telling any of his work colleagues what would occur that evening. She would make sure of that. The journey wouldn't take long. She hadn't indulged herself for quite some time in one of her favourite pastimes, and the thought that she would satisfy an itch had started to cheer her up no end. She knew that men were easy prey, and once they had begun to engage with her, there was a certain point where there was no backing out for them. Curiosity kept them going, and then fear kept them from talking about it. On occasion, she had found very willing participants, and that was a bonus. Hopefully, that may occur this evening. If not, she would anyway ensure she got what she needed. The cab pulled up outside the bar. She handed over the money and got out of the cab and went in. The inside was bright and pleasant, modern in style, but not so modern as to have no soul. It was a sunny day and there were people at tables, both inside and out. It was busy. She made her way to the bar and was pleased to see that there were a number of real ales on sale. She was a bit of a real ale aficionado. And a good pint of British beer was worth a trip. She hoped that this might be one of those times. The barman looked over at her and came across.
Hi, what can I get you?
He asked.
I'll have a pint of Theakston's Best Bitter, please.
She watched the surprise on his face. It quickly doubled as she added.
And a whiskey chaser. Just Bells will do. No ice, no water.
She perched herself on one of the tall bar stools and took in her surroundings and the patronage of the bar. There were a number of groups of people, clearly work colleagues, dotted around, and the background chatter was robust. She focused in on each group, catching bits of the conversations. It was a skill she had acquired over the years, being able to focus in on a certain group of people and mute others. She found the group she was looking for sat in a corner. About 10 in all, a 50-50 split of men and women. The ratio didn't worry her. She could see that she had already garnered a few glances from them. The bartender placed down her drinks and took the money. She waited. 10 minutes later, one of the group, a guy in his early 30s, came up to the bar, stood near to her and ordered a round of drinks.
Hello,
he said.
Hi,
Jules replied.
I've just finished an interview. I needed some courage after the fact.
Jules said, indicating her drinks.
Oh, trying to drown your sorrows? My name's Mark,
he said, sticking out his hand. She took it and replied.
Penelope. People call me Penelope.
And she laughed.
Okay, fair enough.
He laughed with her.
Well, if you're on your own, would you like to join us? We don't bite.
Shame,
she replied, dropping her eyes a little and curling her lip.
I'd love to.
He nearly dropped his drinks at her reply, but recovered enough to lead the way to the table.
Guys, this is Penelope.
And they sat. The next couple of hours passed swiftly in a blur of general conversation with Jules picking up bits of information about the company, how it was run and who was who. Slowly, people began to leave till Jules found herself sat with Mark on her own. She liked him. His conversation was engaging and he had a quiet confidence about him. It made her think she may have found someone to have some serious fun with. There was little point in being coy, so she just asked him directly.
Would you like to take me back to my place, Mark?
His eyes lit up and a smile crossed his face.
I most certainly would.
Great, let's get a cab. It's not too far.
They left the bar, jumped in a cab and headed for one of the flats that Jules owned, just off Harley Street. She had opened up the flat earlier that day and had had some of her people put in some food and drink, just for this possibility. She had called round before her interview to check it and had brought some items she fully intended to utilise. Entering the flat, no sooner had the door closed than Mark reached for her, pulling her in tight, if not a little roughly. She leaned into him and returned the roughness. He leant into her again, but she placed her hands on his chest and manoeuvred him by pushing him onto the settee and down.
Just give me a minute,
she said, and she strode out of the room. Less than a minute later, she was back.
Now then, Mark, let's begin, should we?